Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent out apostles in your name, that as we receive them, we would be receiving you and receiving your Father, that we would have eternal life, that we would have the joy of the eternal festival of knowing you. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that we would come fully into your presence, fully under your authority, and therefore know this joy. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I'll spend some time this morning maybe sharing a few stories from the past week. Fits in with the scriptures this morning. I felt like for a while the Lord's just been impressing upon me something that I guess you could say at different points in life, the Lord says this to you, and you'll know what I mean as soon as I say it. It's like, I think he's saying, I want your whole heart. I want your whole heart. Don't withhold anything from me, because I love you, and I want you to have all that I have in mind for you. I love you. I want you to take it all in. So I want your whole heart. Open wide your heart. Open wide your mouth that you would receive all that I have for you. I feel like that's kind of the word that he's been speaking to me for a while, and it was really reaffirmed this week. I was at the provincial assembly. It's a big word for a gathering of Christians from around the world who are part of our movement in the Anglican Church. And it includes a lot of bishops, and bishops are people who hold authority in the church in the same way that the apostles would have held authority. They're kind of part of that same overseeing responsibility in the life of the church. And in our tradition, they do wear some funny outfits, especially if you don't come from this tradition or if you're new to it. It's more than what I'm wearing. Like, sometimes they even wear a little pointy hat. It all has meaning. It all has to do with the kind of things that Jesus is even talking about here. I mean, he sends them out with his authority in his presence so that we would come into him and into his presence and know God. And so there's this authority that you sense with a lot of these men in the church, and it's a good and godly thing, and it's not from them. It's just from God. So therefore, it's a gift in a way to them for us to bring blessing and to be able to communicate. Well, we pray the truth, because sometimes bishops don't always do that. We have, in the beginning of our service this morning, the opening prayer was, you've built your church, Jesus, or God, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then the prayer is that we would be so joined in unity with their teaching that we would be a holy temple of Christ's presence, of God's presence. So I'm very aware that when a bishop is being faithful, they're being just like those apostles who were the first living stones on top of the cornerstone, the first solid ones to say the truth completely of the gospel so that we could give our hearts completely to the gospel and know God in a profoundly transforming way. And that's what godly authority is supposed to look like. The other thing that struck me about the bishops, however, kind of comes into play the way Jesus refers to his disciples in this moment. He refers to them as little children. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to these, my little children, he's speaking to his disciples. He's giving instructions to his apostles, the ones he would send with that authority and that mission, that they will also not lose their reward. A lot of times he likes to put the child at the center of the kingdom, right? The one who's completely wide open to authority over them. I think that's the issue, isn't it? Is that I'm not completely wide open to authority, true authority. And therefore, I'm not really like a true child before his or her parent. as a child really does want to have the Father's blessing and to fall in line with the things that they love and see and admire in their father. Go with me for this for a little while, assuming they have a good father. And likewise with the mother who is an authority over them. That's what a little child is like, and that's why I think he often puts them at the center of his illustrations about what the kingdom is actually like on earth. It's actually like a little child, and when the disciples are really being who they are, even these ones he's going to send out in authority to be able to forgive sins, to be able to cast out demons, to be able to heal, he's identifying them as little children. That's one of the things I noticed about these, a number of these bishops. They are like little children before the Lord. Like their eyes light up. You know the description of David, who's a man after God's own heart. I'm talking about heart. You know, when he's chosen, it's Samuel's saying, I look at the Lord looks at the interior, not the exterior. And it describes David when he shows up to receive the anointing to become the future king of Israel. And like he's this young, bright-eyed, ruddy, energetic young man. Maybe a slightly older than a child, but he's the youngest one, the least of his family, the least of his tribe, and he's chosen to be anointed. And I get that feeling sometimes with, I think about Bishop Ben, who Father Steve talked about, I think it was last week. Bishop Ben, who with his wife Gloria have endured incredible persecution at the hands of Boko Haram in Nigeria, where she was nearly killed and blinded until there was a healing. She had to go to the hospital for months of recovery. And yet this man, he speaks with incredible authority, but when he talks about Jesus, he's like a little child. So he's got this interesting combination of power and yet complete openness to the Lord. There's no contradiction between him being a little child before the Lord and speaking with great power to us. He's really like David. He is a man after God's own heart, and so he speaks with a kind of authority. He, in his last talk to us, he also was challenging us to receive the full truth, to stand in the full truth of the gospel, to receive all of it, even the stuff that we don't really want, and then to speak it fully with our lives, with our mouths, with our words, with our deeds, with everything that we are. And he's really asking us to completely give our hearts. And he could say it to us in a way that I know I can't say, because he's completely given his heart over to the Lord, and it's been tested several times with his very life, with the love of his life, his wife Gloria as well. So when Bishop Ben speaks, he's speaking with an overflow of power because he's completely open to the love of God for him. Completely yielded. That's what Paul talks about in his letter to the church at Rome today. I want you to yield your members, your body, your entire self to the Lord. Don't submit it to sin. The word there is like, I want you to really hear it, and I want you to come under what you're hearing and completely submit yourself to it. Open wide, make your heart just a gigantic acoustic chamber. These have got pretty good acoustics in here, right? You can hear my voice even without, I'm mic'd, but you could actually hear my voice even without it. And in a way, what I think Paul is saying, what I feel like the Lord's been saying to me and I'm sharing with you is, I want your heart wide open. Get all the other stuff out of there because it's interfering with your ability to hear this word. The acoustics are messed up. I want you to hear it, and I actually want it to be so wide open that it actually determines how you live your life, that it has the authority over you so that that's how you live. At times Bishop Ben would speak loudly, at times he would speak very softly, but the authority and the call to submit to the love and the truth of what God has for us was so strong. And it's because he loves us. That's why Paul says, I want you to yield your body because the Lord loves you. It's not about like control, but it is about a reign of authority. The Lord has a desire to bless you, and whenever we don't receive the truth or live according to the truth, we're slaves to whatever it is we are listening to. We're actually slaves. There's no freedom in that. But if we've been baptized into Christ, if we've received with faith the Lord and His presence, we don't have to do that. We're actually set free from having to be slaves. And in the Spirit, we have the power actually to obey and have our bodies entirely made into a holy temple, full of the presence of God, our hearts completely given over to Him. That is the great command. It's one of the things that Jesus does emphasize in Mark 12 is that, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Eugene Peterson says, I think I wrote it down here, with all your passion, love the Lord your God with all your passion and your prayer and your intelligence and your energy, with everything, with all of your passion, with all of your prayer, the longings of your heart. With your intelligence, fill your mind with the truth that's recorded in the Scriptures and long for it with your desire, with the affections of your heart, and with your energy. Don't be apathetic about it. It's one thing that you sensed with Bishop Ben in particular. There's nothing apathetic about him at all. He's completely yielded, completely entrusting himself to the Lord and His words, even the hard ones. And for him, the hard ones are really hard. Because for him to stand in the midst of a kind of Islamic persecution means to literally have his life in danger every day and to have his family's life in danger every day. For us, it's not quite that intense of a contest, but we have a contest. We have a contest. We have it with how we are filling our minds with a lot of things of this culture that are not truth and are interfering with the acoustics of our heart. Bishop Ben is somebody who is constantly in prayer, constantly listening to the Word of God. He does it in punctuated ways in the morning office, in the evening office. He often sings it, by the way. A wonderful thing about the Nigerian way of doing the prayer is they often sing the Scriptures. So they're very formed in it. You know, right after David is anointed to be the next king, it talks about him going to Saul to minister to his heart with song. I think one of the reasons David's heart is so after the Lord is because he's constantly singing the truth. Like the psalm we read this morning, I'm going to sing of your love forever. That's the love that he wants to give to us and our yielded hearts. And so Bishop Ben, he sings it, and so his heart's completely yielded, and his mind is therefore completely filled, and his affections are really completely directed. His longings are completely centered because he's singing of these beautiful things, of the love of the Lord, for instance. Well, we listen to other things. You know, even last night, I pull open a Netflix show. I'm like, well, I just want to pass some time, you know. I couldn't get all of my thoughts clear, so I did the thing that I often do, which is I pull open a show, and I just knew it was a distraction, and I was not homing in on the good that the Lord had for me at that moment. I was not quite yielded to His Spirit and His righteousness and the goodness He has for me. I came across a statistic the other day, as I think this is really important to say, maybe more often than we are comfortable saying, that one of the ways that this culture is completely enslaved is its attitude towards sexuality. And it plays itself out in a lot of different ways. There's broken forms of sexuality that seem kind of obvious, very, very twisted. And that's one thing, but I've also seen that amongst Christians, 75% are engaged in activities through the internet that prove that we're not slaves to righteousness, but we're slaves to sin. 75%? Is that true? I just saw that in the latest issue of Christianity Today. The Lord wants to love us, and he wants to fill us with his truth, but our hearts and their affections are being occupied with other idols and being drawn and seduced to these other idols, and we're being enslaved to them, and we are not free. Bishop Ben was calling all of us in that auditorium to repentance. Like, the particular repentance that he was calling us to was especially pointed for me as a preacher. He said, "Preachers, you have the keys here. You need to repent for not preaching repentance." Is what I'm saying here is I want all of our hearts to change, which is what repentance means. I want all of our hearts to change so that they can be free from sin and living in the beauty of holiness, in the presence of God, with eyes that are like David's, a light, and hearts that are energized in desiring goodness and beauty and the truth. That's what the Lord wants for us this morning. But we have to repent. And I'm preaching that this morning because I heard Ben say that, and I want to be completely given over to what the Lord wants to bring in terms of a blessing, even through this sermon. I think one of the things that is difficult is we think, well, I keep falling, and I keep getting sucked back into these old ways, and I do feel enslaved. But I think what the Lord is saying is, like, I want you to receive the word now. I want you to receive it with all of your heart right now. I want you to decide with all of your heart right now, whatever that idol is, whatever that addictive substance might be, whatever that thing is that's distracting you from your centeredness and letting the word completely permeate your heart. What do we say every Sunday? We open with this prayer. We say it this way. You know, God, actually all hearts are open. He does know our hearts. All of our desires are actually known. He knows these desires. No secrets are hid from him. So we ask him to cleanse our hearts, which he is faithful to do the moment we repent. And then by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, may our hearts perfectly, that means completely, entirely love you. It's the prayer of the church. At the beginning of every worship service, it's the prayer of life, is that we would completely love him, that we would worthily magnify his name, his presence. This is the desire. If we are here every Sunday praying, that's what we're asking for, and that's what blessing the Lord wants to bring, and that's the repentance he's calling us to. You know, I'll finish with one more story from this week. There's a bishop by the name of Todd Atkinson. It's the first time I've had a chance to meet him. He's a big, big man. He's like 6'3" or 6'4". He's got a really long beard. He actually looks like a Viking. I think he might be my age, but he seems much younger than me. He has that childlike spirit that I've been talking about. And his story is just incredible. He talks about when he was, I think it was 17 or 18, growing up in Canada, and the Lord got hold of him, and he's like, "Lord, I just want to do whatever you want. I want my entire life to be yours. I'm going to do whatever you say. What do you want me to do?" And he said, "I heard the Lord say distinctly, I want you to go to Scotland and do street evangelism." And so Bishop Todd actually did that. I don't think I would have done it. I'd be like, "Well, maybe not that, Lord. Can you come up with something else?" But Bishop Todd does it, and he goes into this, and, you know, he's taken under the wing of an older evangelist there in the UK, and who's part of Billy Graham's evangelistic team, and he has a whole season of doing evangelism there, and then the Lord calls him to go back home and plant a church. but he's still completely given over to the Lord. And the Lord keeps on teaching him more and more about what it means to be completely given over to the Lord. He told one story that the Lord's just been doing a number on him in terms of, I want you to be more prayerful. Like, really, with the longings of your heart, I want you to bring them to me, because that's really the one thing necessary. It is. So I want you to pray. Be given completely over to prayer. And so he's just sorry. He's like, I started out like a hermit. I would do it by myself, but I would pray at length. And then I would pray all night long. And then I would pray for 2 days straight, and then 3 days straight. And then I started to bring in other people, praying for, you know, throughout a vigil extensively. And I'm thinking, man, that's intense. And yet he doesn't seem like a SEAL, a Navy SEAL might, like with that kind of intensity, you know. He seems like a kid. And he's just taking delight, and he's full of joy. And he's saying, well, we did this, and we just found this incredible strength by seeking the Lord completely in prayer. And he said, and then there was one time where one of the very dearest people in our parish, one who is a pillar in our church, came down with a terrible, deadly form of cancer, stage 4. And we started to pray. We started to do vigils for this person. Did not get better. In fact, ended up in hospice, in a coma. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, I thought you said you wanted us to really pray and that you were going to heal him. And the Lord says, I am going to heal him. Next Sunday, he's going to be in church with you. Lord, he's in hospice, he's in a coma. Next Sunday, he's going to be in church with you. And they just kept on praying. And next Sunday, that guy was actually in church with them. It was hard. He was still weak, but he was in church, and then he was completely healed. Doesn't always happen that way, I know, but the Lord had said I was going to heal him. And they completely entrusted themselves to the Lord and what he wanted to do. They completely opened up their hearts. They joined themselves together in that word coming through their apostle, Bishop Todd, a word of hope and healing through him. And they united themselves in prayer in complete openness to it. So Bishop Todd is this person who's completely given over. He's a big man with a big heart and the spirit of an eternal child. So here we are. We're having talk with a bunch of adults, you know, and we're all upward affiliating, because that's what adults do. We upward affiliate, right? We don't downward affiliate. I think if we were more like Jesus, we would. But Bishop Atkinson, so we're talking, and I'm trying to engage Bishop Todd, and he's completely occupied with my daughter, Mia. There's Mia. Hi, Mia. And he's like, he starts to talk to her and pay attention to her, and I'm thinking, hey, man, there's this important conversation going on here. And he's focusing in on Mia, my young 14-year-old daughter. And I'm hearing him say words of affirmation to her. He said, you know, you have the Spirit of the Lord in you. In fact, you're effervescent. Do you know what that word means? The Lord's hand is really on you. You have a brightness to your eyes. Speaking of the David brightness, right? He was saying all this stuff to Mia. But he started to ask her about her heart. And he said, what is it that you think you're called to do? And she started to talk about writing. And he started right there to talk to her about how she could give more of her heart, more of her longing, more of her thoughts and her occupations over to the Lord and the mission that he was giving her to do with her life. Because he was a man after God's own heart, forming a young one after God's own heart. And Mia was receiving one of the Lord's little children, and therefore receiving Jesus and receiving a word as if from the mouth of God because of it. I want to say this about Mia. I know this, and she's given me permission to share this. This was an answer to a prayer of her heart. Because the night before, she's like, Lord, I need to know who I am in you. And she was like, are you going to answer, Lord? Who am I in you? She opened up her heart, and the next day, Bishop Todd is speaking truth about who she is in Jesus. The Lord wants to set us free for glory, for joy, for fruit in the kingdom. He wants to set us free from the fruit that leads to death for the fruit that leads to joy and glory and eternal life. That's what's offered to us. Do you want to give your whole heart to that? Does that sound good? Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you so loved us, that you sent your Son, who is completely given over to you, and every word that proceeds from your mouth, he hears and he speaks of that. Everything that you do, he watches and he does in accordance with that. And then you created disciples, empowered with your Spirit, to do everything that you have said and shown. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit into our hearts, for your Spirit alone can search the depths of our hearts and set us free from sin, cleanse us from those things that interfere with our hearing and obedience of you, that we might be completely given over to you, wide open channels of holiness and love and power for the kingdom. Lord, send your Spirit among us as we prepare ourselves to confess the truth of your revelation and to confess our sins that we might be healed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.